Welcome to the Rock.
And thank you for downloading another episode of the Black and Gold Podcast. This is the Boonshine Basils edition of the Black and Gold Podcast. We are live in Boone, North Carolina, where it is a typical Boone winter day, where it was snowing, and then it wasn't. It was cloudy, then it wasn't. But all the same, we are in person again, Big C, and we have a conversation in store with new baseball coach, Kermit Smith.
I'm excited to talk to Kermit Smith about the future season that we got coming up and how he envisions this program progressing while he's here. He talks about a lot of good things. He's been on a lot of different type of podcasts and done a lot of previews for other avenues. There was a Top Coach podcast that he did a couple weeks back, and then he's been on some radio shows maybe recently. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a halftime guest for the Georgia Southern basketball game. Adam went and did a little talk with him during that segment. So we're kind of looking like we're late to the party here, don't we? Like we're the last ones getting to him. But hey, I look at that as a positive. We're the last guys he talked to from the media before, managing his first game at the Division I level of baseball.
Pardon me, those other interviews were spring training. We are the regular season. No, really excited to talk to Mr. Kermit Smith, new manager. And I tell you, he's saying all the right things of what we talked about last year being a problem with the baseball program. So can't wait to talk to him. But Big C, we have other things to talk about, like rumors. Football
rumors.
What's going on?
Were we going to go a whole episode without talking about football?
No, why would we? Because I'd still need to be able to post it in the football category on the message board.
Seems kind of productive, doesn't it?
That's right.
They're just that at this point. Nothing set in stone. But rumors of a certain team to the east of us who we've always wanted to play football against and having that opportunity.
Lenoir Rhyne,
just east. UNC Lenoir Rhyne. Oh, I mean, probably about the same academic standards, don't you think? Just kidding, folks.
Wow.
The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. There's the rumors out that we might be going here and there. Mm. And then there once more. So
what years?
Once again, they're rumors. They're not confirmed. But it's not far off. It's all sooner than the ECU series. So I think it's 2019 when the first game is played. So we'll see how that works out. Hopefully that series can be confirmed. There will be lots of people who have lots to say about that and have already said a lot of things, honestly.
Who wants the SoCon right now? I just wish we were playing Furman.
I was dreaming about playing the Furman in late October the other day.
Playing the Furman.
And there was one game, and this is just funny because it is. And this happened quite a bit, but it never happened in front of us, where they had the little paladin that runs off out in the little white horse,
right.
And he got thrown off. And I was like, oh, we're sure to win this game. Nope, sure didn't. Glad we're not playing them.
Yes, anymore, so. I'm glad we're playing teams like UNC and Miami and Wake Forest and ECU. But no, those are rumors, like we said, unsubstantiated. And since this is kind of a different type of podcast where we're literally recording in a booth in a restaurant because we're classy people and we enjoy classy things. We do want to recognize our sponsors, ZBox Mattress. Of course, if you go to ZBoxMattress.com and look up their many, many premium mattresses of any size, enter in promo code Black and Gold, you'll get 10% off of everything you buy. Everything you buy. That is a company owned by App State alum. They are awesome. It is an awesome bet. I sleep on one. And then also, we don't even have a hashtag BGP mail satchel. But if we did, it would be sponsored by Stephen Mechanic, who, of course, is a financial advisor and overall Mountaineer fanatic. To get in touch with Stephen to talk about what kind of investments or investing activities that you can take part in to make yourself rich down the road, call or text him at 336-706-1473. Or you can email him. I mean, email is still a thing. And Stephen is very quick to respond on email. Stephen.h.mechanic. That's MACHANIC at NM.com. And finally, this is kind of risky, but Casa Rustica is our special guest sponsor. Yeah, and we're in another Italian kind of place right now.
It's a sandwich stop. Okay. Imagine us or me in a sandwich shop.
I got to say, Bixie has a beautiful sandwich in front. It looks great. It's tempting for me. It looks very well constructed.
It's not on ciabatta.
What bread is that?
I can't ever pronounce it. I'm not even going to try, but it starts with the letter F.
I think he can. I just don't think he wants to be revealed. I don't think he wants to be revealed as the bread connoisseur that he is. Whereas in front of me are some pretzels and beer cheese with our super producer, Matthew John. Matthew, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. Feeling good.
We're getting ready to go to a baseball field. That's why you're feeling good.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
I don't think any of us can wait. We should have brought our gloves. You know, guys bring their gloves to baseball stadiums. That's what we should have.
Are you those kind of guys?
Yeah.
Take the gloves to the baseball game, steal from little kids?
Steal?
Well, you know, the balls are for the kids.
Says who?
It says the unwritten rule of baseball 1776. Is that right?
I didn't realize it was that high in the rule book, but... regardless, no. This is a really interesting time because, you know, as you just mentioned, football season's over. But we're going to try to mention football as much as possible. We do have spring practice going on, according to Scott Satterfield. We do have a 4-man race for backup quarterback. And that's an interesting dynamic because you have a guy, JP Caruso, who's been back there for quite a while. All of a sudden, he's having a battle. Is it coach speak? Maybe. But, you know, we got some John Law and Keenan Gilchrist-sized shoes to fill. A lot of things going on in spring practice. And in App State, we have those early spring practices. So, you know, trying to carry over that momentum.
Technically winter still, and will be winter for a good amount of time. Today was not a perfect reminder of that up there in the high country. But you know what? You know what they call a 4-man race for the backup quarterback job? It says your starter is a senior. That's what that is. You've got to produce on the field and in practice. This thing is not just going to be handed over to anybody. Next year, when Taylor Lamb exhausts his eligibility and plays his 4 years, so that'd be something to keep an eye on. So in games, if we have those in the future where we may have leads and the lead may be safe. Who goes in first? You know, is it going to be one guy 1 week, one guy another? You know, it's going to be interesting because more than likely the guy who starts at quarterback for App State football in 2018 is going to have how many starts under his belt?
One, two, three, zero.
Zero, exactly. So
barring injury.
It's in a very important situation.
Wood.
Exactly. So something to keep an eye on. It's a little early for all that, but
we'll
get to it when we get to it. Yeah, I thought Tweetsie Taylor just got here.
I know.
And two bowl wins later and double-digit wins.
He became the starter. Really, in that Southern Miss game, didn't look back. And it's been Taylor Lamb
mm-hmm.
the whole time.
And it was quick.
It was.
Did you feel like when Urbani played here, it felt like he played 9 seasons?
Yeah, he did. Felt like it. But then again, there's all those playoff games. He played 15 games a year.
Right, yeah. It does help. So.
Yeah. Not to say that those weren't great years, but yeah, it did feel like Armani lasted a little longer. And it was like yesterday when we burned Shaden's red shirt at the Liberty game. Mm-hmm. And we're thinking, can't wait to see Shaden and Taylor Lamb against Wake Forest. Well, guess what? Here it comes.
We will.
Yeah, we're getting ready
It's on the way.
It is on the way. So, again, still speculation, but that UNC news of the cheating Tar Heels coming up the mountain and then us going there. I mean, look, that's a win-win for everybody. We're going to travel. They're going to travel. It's going to be a great day.
A lot of their alums might not even have to travel. They probably already live here up in Avery County. But honestly, maybe in downtown Boone, to be honest.
Wow.
So, but we'll see. Excited about that. But you know what I'm really more excited about? Talk about some basketball.
Let's talk a little bit about basketball because, hey, it's like you said last week, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But what happened?
We won games.
A sweep. The weekend sweep of the Peach State.
It was beautiful.
What happened?
well, we played to our potential. I think that's really what happened. And we played well when we needed to in critical moments. Both of these games had situations where Patrick Good hit a three late that kind of sealed the deal, pushed it out of range, taking on his role as a role player. Making those shots when it's necessary. I think that's just what it really came down to. For whatever reason, Georgia State can't play up here. That's an 0-3. That's an 0-3 up here on the mountain. So who knows what it is. But, you know, what we did that game is we hit 14 three-pointers, I believe it was.
Wow.
And that's what you have to do against Arizona. And the thing is Ron Hunter is too stubborn to come out of it and play man-to-man. And we just had – and everybody was hitting them. Bennett Holly was out there just dripping threes, wet, left and right. So really excited about that. Kind of felt like that was coming. And then, of course, on Monday night, taking care of Georgia State, Georgia Southern, State, not Southern. Taking care of Georgia Southern on Monday night was equally as good. You know, a game where we played like just garbage for the first 13 minutes, had just a buku of turnovers. Buku is also for a lot. Also a meaning for a lot.
For a lot.
It might be French. Is that French? Is that Italian?
Buku.
That sounds French.
It might be Creole.
Now, those guys are coming up in a couple weeks.
But, that's true. They are.
But no, a good evening. We went on a huge run to end the half, I believe it was, after being down 9. And we never really looked back. Won the game by, I think, five or six points, but it wasn't that close at the end. We led throughout the second half with double digits. Got them in foul trouble.
And kept waiting for that not to just disappear, and it just never did.
Mm-hmm. No, it didn't. So, a good game. But Griff Kenny was a monster on Monday night.
European monster.
25-9. Went to the free throw line 20 times, which he would have hit more than just 13. But good game of that. Really excited. Get off the snide. You know, we're only a couple games out of getting into a really good situation as far as the way the tournament lines up. You know, we've got that, and we're playing those teams in you know, those next five teams that we play are those teams that we can gain ground on and jump if things go a certain way. So we've
got to play perfect.
We don't have to play perfect, but we have to play pretty close. I'll take 3-2 down the stretch right now. I'd love that. Take 3-2.
All right. I'm going to ask super producer Matthew Johnson, your executive vice president of podcast recording operations. I want your take on whether or not, and I'm doing this on purpose because I don't want Big C to corrupt his answer. We've talked a lot about how Jim Fox he doesn't run plays. He has an offense where the players see, he teaches them to see what's open, blah, blah, blah. And we say that takes time. Well, those two wins were pretty solid this weekend. Is this a turning point for App State basketball?
I'd like to say that it probably is a turning point. I think things are really coming together. The players are really starting to mesh together and work as like a whole system. And nothing against Frank Eves, but when he was with us, I felt like everything tried to run through him, and a lot of times that got us in trouble because you're only looking to Frank. And so now I see these guys, like, you know, the floor is pretty spread out. You know, I mean, you got Shabazz, who's obviously great on the floor, but then look who stepped up this last game, Griffin Kenny. And then you also have Patrick Good, who's playing really well, and Emarius Logan. I mean, everybody's sort of filling into their role. And for me, I think things are really starting to groove, and I think it is looking very good into the future.
So we don't regress then. We stay on the course. Okay. He says yes. Big C.
Well, you know, he's right. What we needed was to develop a second scoring threat. We didn't need it to be this person. It needed to be somebody else. Just somebody else on the team. You know, we knew once Ronchad had those games where he was scoring 30 points a couple times out that defenses start keying on him. And it doesn't matter who steps up. Any guy that comes off the bench, whether it's Bennett Holly, whether it's, you know, whoever, they got to be able to take advantage of the opportunities and make us look good. That's really what it comes down to on the basketball court. You know, you got five guys on the floor, they've all got to be threats at any point.
Back when I played, I was the threat. They called me the threat.
You on the basketball court is definitely threatening to your own team if you were on the squad.
I didn't want to bring up the fact that I was threatening to my own team, and thanks for blowing that one. But so we have. So according to Big C, we have found the groove, and we're going to stick to it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You've been saying this season that the team that we want to see is there. They just haven't figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, well, I'm just going to say this weekend, I kept waiting for the lead to be blown. I kept waiting for the inevitable streak where we couldn't score. Like that Western Carolina game was, that is like, what are you? But, you know, we found a way to just, like Matthew just said, spread it out on the floor to the point where you didn't feel hopeless when a particular person had a ball. You felt like, you know, there was a chance we could score a basket on any given possession.
Well, we learned pretty quick, too. I mean, that Little Rock game last Monday, we had that long stretch where we didn't score. We gave up the lead, you know, at half. We were down five, and then all of a sudden it got to a point where we couldn't control it. And, you know, foul trouble is a part of that. And learning how to play defense without fouling is key, especially when you're, you know, in my opinion, we're a little thin. down low. We've got Ike Johnson, we've got Tyrell Johnson, and we've got Griffin Kenny. And literally, those are your guys who can rebound and defend the post. Otherwise, it's just one-on-one stuff on the perimeter. So they played well. There was no foul trouble this weekend that I can remember. I was a little out of it for the Georgia State game. I was focusing on something else. But I did rewatch it for those who were paying attention. And then, we got two wins. That's the main thing.
Wait a minute. Is this the first episode since you've had? It is.
And I didn't take a week off either.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
Well, okay. So, basketball season, we don't do Sunday shows.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, so for everybody that has been listening to the show, Big C is now an out-of-the-womb father now. Congratulations, Big C. How's all that going?
It's going great.
It's awesome.
He's a doll.
Good. Well, it only gets better. I just went through this. So I feel like I have unique perspectives into what Big C's going through like 3 months ahead of time. So I can give him, hey, man, at this point, like I told him before we sat down, like the first couple weeks, I mean, all they do is got to sleep, cry, and eat. They can't see you. Their eyesight's bad. So we're sitting here eating sandwiches.
One day at a time.
Yeah. So congratulations, Big C. Outside of that, I do know that I mentioned that Casa Resco is our special guest sponsor. They've been in the high country since 1981. They're a classy organization because they only open for dinner. They're expensive, but there's high quality. It's great food.
It tells you the kind of restaurant you are when you only open for dinner. It's because you've got a built-in guests who are coming to you all the time, and you spend all that day preparing the food. Yeah, that's another way to look at it.
You want to get out of the doghouse with your lady? That's a ticket. Casa Rustica.
Right, there you go.
Casa Rustica? Absolutely. And also, for catering needs, CR Catering, they're awesome. They have really great food. It's not just Italian. They'll cater whatever event you have. Exquisite ingredients. It's just a really great group of App State supporters and podcast supporters at Casa Rustica. So, give them a try again and again if you're in Boone or if you live in Boone. Doesn't matter. But Big C, we're in Boone. We're having fun. It's a decent day. There's snow on the ground in many places. What better time to talk about baseball than when you can see snow on the ground?
As Kermit Smith would say, it's 75 and sunny. Any day you can go out and play baseball. That's his. That's kind of his mantra. There is that it's a beautiful day.
Southern boy too.
Yeah,
He's a southern boy up here. He's. I don't know. This has been a mild time for him. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking there's going to be something that's going to knock his southern socks off.
Today wasn't that bad, but it was the undiscussed snow that showed up out of nowhere. Actually, where I live in town, I didn't see a flake. I was like, everybody's talking about snow. What's going on? I get to the baseball field. I'm like, oh, I get it. It's covered.
That's covered. Absolutely. But no, we're really happy. Like we mentioned, and those that listened last spring, week in and week out, what were we doing, Big C? We're covering baseball.
That's what we're supposed to do.
And what did we say last year? Hey, we got true freshmen starting on the mound. They're going to get at least a lot of experience, but there's a lot of work to do with this program. And like I said, we're very excited to go into the office of Kermit Smith and talk to him one-on-one about what he is planning for his program and what he's going to do different, Big C, because, really was a culture problem last year. Baseball's fun. We keep talking about baseball's fun. It needs to be fun, and it can only be fun if you have a manager that makes it a priority to incorporate people. It's a people business. Jerry Moore was great at that. It needs to be about people and relationships.
More than just wins, losses. I mean, we've got to remember that our former baseball coach still had years, multiple, left on his contract, and that's one of the first times ever that an App State athletic administration has gotten rid of a coach with such remaining, and so that was a shock. Although no one that I know was ticked off at all that occurred, but just really surprised, like, oh, well, okay, perfect. Now we can get this thing rolling again. So, looking forward to talk to Kermit, give us his vision for this program.
He's been to the D2 World Series twice. Knows what it takes to win on a limited budget with limited resources. He knows the game really, really well. He seems, everything we've heard him say, he's passionate about the game. But here's the thing that's different, Big C. I'm gonna say this is different from the previous administration. The baseball coach has to be passionate about baseball. I think he's passionate about leading. And that's what comes off to me. He's passionate about leading. And I think that's what's a little bit different about him. And obviously, you've got to play. You've got to play the game.
It's bigger than the game. It's, absolutely. It's about the relationships. He talks about that a lot. So.
Yeah. And we all always sat here and said that one day App State would be playing in the same conference as the College World Series champion. And here we are.
that kind of fell in our lap, didn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty sweet, though. But unfortunately, they're not coming up here. They'll be up here, I guess, if all things remain equal next year. But anyway, folks, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the Casa Rustica special guest segment with head coach Kermit Smith. We're very excited to have him join us on the Black Gold Podcast. So sit back and wait. And we are back on the Black and Gold Podcast. It's our Casa Rustica special guest segment with the one and only head baseball coach, Kermit Smith. You're new to Boone. We appreciate you letting us post up in your office here. We see snow outside on the baseball field. It's Boone spring training, essentially. How are you feeling?
I feel great. It's a pretty awesome day, you know, to get to come out here and do this in my office. So this is nice to not have to leave. I appreciate you guys coming up. But it's a beautiful day. My wife and I and our kids, we just moved into our new house in Boone on Friday.
Oh, wow.
So, yep. So that was pretty awesome. So I'm official Boone now.
That's right.
Not that I wasn't before, but, you know, right. now I've got a property to call home. So I got a little shorter drive every day home. So that's very
that's
nice.
That's good. How far was the drive before?
We were in Blowing Rock. So, I mean, 10 extra minutes.
Oh, man.
Not a big deal. We're still right on that line. So we're still in the Blowing Rock School District.
I got you. Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. And you're getting a new chair today, apparently.
We're getting 6 new chairs in here. So we're very excited about
day.
That. So, yeah. All the coaches and the chair you're sitting in right now will be new, and the trainer will get
they knew what he was doing. Yeah. He knew I was coming, got me a new chair for the next time we're here, right?
That's right. I actually tried to have you here before you got here.
That's all right.
If you guys hadn't kept the moving truck from getting here quicker.
No, we were trying to get past the moving truck.
Oh, AJ, that was AJ. I was here early. That was his own time.
Yeah, I did not flash any appropriate hand gestures at that driver. I was just trying to get here. But now I know that they're carrying precious cargo, and so that's okay. That's okay. So, Coach, talk about, or Pixie hates it when I say talk about, but what's your background? For those listening to the show right now, they know that we've been struggling in baseball as a program. We have you coming in here. You've had a lot of success winning where you came from previously, which is awesome for guys like me to hear, because I think, you know, we were just talking about this driving up here. I think it's really critical that coaches know how to win where they are, you know, at the helm, not, you know, just as an, I mean, you learn a lot as an assistant and everything, but when you're managing a team and you can win where you are, I think that's a huge thing. So what is your background and how long have you been coaching?
I've been coaching for 16 years. Started at Belmont Abbey College. I graduated from Pfeiffer University and then went down to Belmont Abbey College for about 9 years. I was the assistant for 1 year. And then right after that, after 2009, I went to Lander University in Greenwood, South Carolina. Was there for 7 years and now I'm here. So
Lander.
Yeah, it's a great run. It's been very fortunate to have a lot of really good players, been very fortunate to have a lot of good assistants. And I think that's been a real key to, you know, as you talk about, you know, learning how to win, you know, where you are. I think that it's very important to surround yourself with good people, not just from, I think everybody thinks about the players at that point, but, yeah. You know, if you don't have a good support staff in terms of, you know, who's monitoring your guys' activities and that kind of thing, you know, who are your assistants, who are the people that you're surrounding those guys with, I think it's very, very important to have those, and I've been blessed with a lot of good ones.
That's awesome. So you were in Belmont Abbey in 2008 and 2009?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have Justin Vasquez play for you?
I did.
I played with Justin growing up. Yeah.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
So I had his brother there too, Carlos.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so. I played this is weird. I didn't know he coached in 2008, 2009. But yeah, I played with Justin growing up.
He was on a World Series team in 2009.
Yeah,
he's my three stick.
That's right. He's a great kid. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I think he just got married.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's fantastic.
Just went into remission.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, he and one thing I remember about Justin is he smiled constantly.
Oh, man, he's awesome.
He was awesome. Yeah. And yeah. Zeus did too, of course.
Special, special player.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah. Both those guys were on our World Series team. And in fact, their cousin, who was at the University of Florida last year and was transferring out, he was going to come to Lander last year.
Is that Chris?
No. That is.
I can't remember his name.
Jeremy okay. Vasquez, yeah, and their other brother played at University of Florida too. He's in the pros right now.
Oh, I did.
And now their younger brother should be a junior or senior right now.
Anyway, it's really fun being up here. I used to live in Florida, and then when we moved up here to Hickory, he'd come to LR to get to watch him play.
Yeah,
it was really awesome. That's really awesome.
So you're from Martin County?
No, I live in St. Lucie County.
Okay, you ever heard of Spencer Sobel?
No.
Okay. He was our catcher on the 09 team.
And really?
He's from down in that area, too. They played on the same kind of travel teams every once in a while.
Nope. But, I mean, there's a lot of good baseball down there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good baseball. So, what when this job came available and everything, what was the timeline between you being interested in this job and then interviewing for the job and then finally you're the man here at App State Baseball?
I think it probably was open for about 12 days before I heard anything from anybody. And then I got a phone call asking if I wanted to do a phone interview, did the phone interview. After that, waited a few days to do and found out that they wanted me to do an on-campus interview, did that. And then I knew that Friday, Saturday, something like that, I just pulled into the beach. So we had our family vacation, so getting out of the car, and Doug Gillen gave me a call and asked me if I wanted to be a new baseball coach here. So it was start to a great vacation.
Awesome.
I guess about 18 days before I was named the head coach, and then from when it opened to when I got it.
So what kind of a manager are you? Are you a guy that believes pitching first? I mean everything's important. You know, you got the small ball guys, you got the guys make sure that, you know, pitching is front and center, you get innings out of your starters. What kind of style manager are you, would you say?
That's a great question.
Besides a winning style.
To have more runs than the other team at the end of nine innings.
That's good.
That's a very good coach speak. I love it.
I think that's
it counts. Case.
I think one of my these guys probably get tired of me saying it, but I think that it all matters. You know, I think I'm probably more of a culture manager than I am anything. So I think I want a group of guys that believe in a family, number one, that really care about each other. I think that's first and foremost. What's going to last, what's going to mean something 40 years from now is that these guys really cared about each other and they cared about where they went to school and they come back here, you know, and bring their families here and they want, you know, so-and-so to meet so-and-so and, you know, just that they're proud of where they went to school. I think that's probably first and foremost before we even start on pitching or catching or defense or hitting or anything else. But, you know, I think that once you have a group of guys that really care about each other and then have a pride to put that jersey on, you know, it's hard for me to explain to them because I think that I've never worked a job for another job, but the day that we took pictures here and I got to put that uniform on for the first time and just to know from my standpoint, everything that went into that, you know, to get to that day of putting that uniform on. I didn't expect it. It kind of caught me by surprise. I was a little emotional and pretty quiet. Went down, got my pictures taken, and just left. And it was just a really, really awesome day to be a part of that. So I think that I'm hopeful that they can kind of feel that for me, how much pride that I have. And I've only been here 8 months, you know, this means that much to me. So I think that when you have a group of guys that care about each other and you have a group of guys that have a lot of pride to put that A on their chest, I think you have the start of a great foundation. And then, you know, I think even though I don't think there's really anything cutting edge about the world in general, we try to stay as fresh as we can in how we're teaching the game. We want to teach the game the right way. So we want to teach the right swing, the most efficient swing. We want each guy to get the most out of their talents and abilities. You know, a lot of times I'll say in the recruiting, not all the time, every time I'm recruiting a kid, I'll basically say to them, you know, when you say that you want to come here, you're basically telling me that I can help you reach your potential. So we want each guy in their 4 years here to at some point reach their potential. And before they leave here, you know, they've got a good sense of who they are. So, You know, I think from that standpoint is if we're recruiting a group of guys that want to come in and be a part of a family, they have a lot of pride in where they're going to school and they're going to reach their potential and we know what the heck we're doing in the recruiting process. I think that regardless of what kind of style we are, you know, I want my pitching coach to be a pitching guy and I want him to believe in not allowing one run to come across the plate. And I want, you know, our offensive coaches to, you know, want to score 10 runs a game. So, you know, I think that when you look at both sides of that, you know, at the end of the day, I want to have more runs than they do, but we believe in teaching it a specific way. And, you know, I guess if in a perfect world, we're going to win every game 10 to nothing, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Even as unrealistic as I think, you know,
you might have a job in the Bronx if you do that.
I tell you what, that'd be a nice day, but no, you know, that's a perfect world. And I think just, we want to be competitive every game. We want to play extremely hard. We want to put, we've got a certain amount of effort we can give on a certain daily basis. We want to give all that effort every day. And we want to walk out and, you know, with a good attitude about who we're playing against.
Big C, we are now in the same conference as the College World Series champs.
Yeah, but they joined us, though. That's important
right.
to remember.
That's right.
We're not a part of their conference. They're a part of our conference.
They joined us.
We were here first.
I like that.
So you were going to win every game 10 to nothing.
Thanks.
I'll take it. Thanks. How do you get to 10? Do you have a defined way to get to those 10 runs, or are you willing to just try anything on the field any given time depending on the situation?
Well, I think that, you know, I think the game dictates about everything. You know, I think that when you're facing that Friday night guy, not that we're going to face pretty much all good pitchers, I have a feeling. you know, I think when you're facing that guy that, you know, at the end of the day is going to, you know, it's probably going to be a 3-2 baseball game. I think you got to realize that early in a game, and you got to do some things that you might not normally do. Do I believe in bunting? It depends on the situation. Do I believe in not bunting? Depends on the situation. You know, do I believe in, you know, stolen base? Probably not as much. You're not going to see a whole lot of stolen bases as a team. It's funny, my 2009 team, when we were at the World Series at Bowman Abbey, they were, you know, just their normal dialogue. The guys that are broadcasting the game, they're going through their stuff and they're looking at the stat sheet and they're, you know, and, you know, the stolen base for Bowman. Oh, wow. Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of stolen bases, you know. So, no, I think, you know, we don't want to give up any outs. I think outs are very precious. You know, the three outs that you get in an inning, it's a very specific game. You know, it's kind of like football's got their, you know, four downs and we've got our three outs in an inning, and then you got to punt. So we don't want to punt. We want to stay on the offensive side as long as we can. And I think that when you balance everything out at the end of the year, I think if we've been on offense more than they've been on defense, kind of the running game mentality, in football, I think when you find that, I think you're going to see that we're going to have a chance to be successful more times than not. But, you know, in baseball, it's done in a 9-inning segment. So how are we going to get there? A lot of different ways. We want to be very specific. We want to be patient but aggressive at the plate. We want to have our, you know, our best hitters acknowledge who they are, you know, and their good days and their bad days. On their good days, we want them to be aggressive. On their bad days, we want to be very selective at the pitch they're swinging at. You know, baseball is a funny game. You can have a man on third base with less than two outs, and you don't even have to be good to score the run.
Right.
So, you know, be very selfless in what we're doing. You know, the end result, you can go for five in a day. And there's certain points built into the way that we approach our offensive game that, you know, if you're 0 for 5, make sure that you've made, say you're the leadoff hitter, you're 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts, make sure the two sticks better that day. And there's certain things that we have built into that to say, okay, yeah, I might have been 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts, but I did, you know, I was 0-2 in every at bat, no balls, two strikes in every at bat, and I found a way to get to a full count. You know, just continuing to battle and compete and just, you know, have in mind the 9 hitters that are in the lineup and have in mind the three outs.
So instead of 9 individual at bats, say, you know, one time to the lineup, you approach it as like a team concept to each at bat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to have in mind that it was funny, we're sitting here and talk about it all the time. You're a leadoff hitter once in a game. You know, so I mean, I don't believe in a 3-stick. I don't believe in a leadoff hitter. I don't believe in a you know, 4-stick or anything like that. I just think you've got to have 9 guys that are committed to doing it the way you. And we call it functioning the lineup. We want our lineup to function. So when you walk out, if you see a 3-up, 3-down inning, which I hope you don't, but if you do see a 3-up, 3-down inning, you're going to see some things built in there that was like, that wasn't really a quick inning though. You know, maybe he made that last a little bit longer than it did. You know, we talk a lot about extending innings or extending the inning throughout a game. So there's 9 innings. We want to extend 5 out of 9 innings. Basically what that means is there's, you know, if there's 2 outs, we just want 1 guy to reach base. Just extend the inning by 1. And how many times do you see it watching baseball? Mm-hmm. It's like that you extend it 1 time. Next thing you know, hit by pitch, chink over first baseman's head. Now you got second and third, and you scored a run.
Right.
You know, and it just interesting things can happen. Just extending that third out, putting the guy in the stretch, turning over the lineup, making him throw an extra couple of pitches. Just certain things that are built in to try and get to that. Yeah, we're not going to win every game 10-0. I want to be clear on that. Since
some will be 15-0.
But we want to try and prevent it. And then you know when you talk about making out a lineup, you're also balancing in the other side of it. And you know as sabermetrics have gone on, you've got the run prevention aspect of it. So, you know, when we make out a lineup, I'd like to say, hey, here's our 9 best hitters, but we're putting our best team out there. You know, who's going to prevent the most runs? Who's going to cover the most ground in right field? Who's going to cover the most ground in left field? Who's going to be our best second baseman? Who can turn the double play? You know, who do we want in the ninth? You know, one of our middle infielders right now is a pretty good pitcher for us, Will Herman. So, you know, what are we going to do with him late in games? As we probably sat here and talked about it for an hour and a half this morning. It's just like, okay, if he enters the game in the sixth, so-and-so goes to second, this guy goes right. Or do we not start him that day, bring him fresh out of the pen, and then, you know, because once we bring him into pitch, then you're changing two spots in the lineup. Your DH is gone, your pitcher's gone, and you're pinch hitting for your pitcher every time he comes up. So just all the different factors that go into it, and just, you know, that's why, you know, what kind of coach am I that he asked me a second ago is just like, I believe in a culture, I believe in a team, right. I believe in a family, because you got to have a group of guys in that locker room to believe in how we're going to do it that day.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned Mr. Herman, it's kind of a two-way player, and yeah. It just makes me think of Colin Schmidt, who
yeah.
started games on Sundays, I believe, most times last year, and you'd also see him, you know, have the, you know, the cleanup
yeah.
spot in the batting order earlier in the weekend.
Yep.
Is that a plan that you have, or you know how you're going to approach
still
that?
Still working through a lot of things with Colin, you know, specifically is just like he's taking on a humongous role on the mound this year, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that everybody, so you guys in particular saw it better than I did, is you just saw the maturation process throughout the year last yep. year is where mm-hmm. maybe at the first four or five starts there was, and then, yep. you know, the later part of the year you're like, yes. That's yep. the guy. So just as that's evolved, and he's kind of been on that plan since he walked in here this year, and just getting used to a routine. You know, we haven't had as much time to swing the bat, but that's absolutely something mm-hmm. that you can see the talent there just in taking BP,
right.
and that's something that we're going to have to work through. But we've really focused on him being the best pitcher he can be to start this.
Yeah, being a good left-handed pitcher and a good hitter. That's a talented individual.
Especially a left-handed hitter, because they don't grow on trees.
They don't.
We just talked about Justin. I mean, he's one of the better ones I've ever
That's
coached.
Right. Yeah. They don't grow on trees.
Nope.
They grow in Martin County.
They do. Martin County, yeah.
So I like knowing things. When you talk to somebody that is a baseball fan, you know, baseball's such a timeless sport where young kids can enjoy it, and you have these memories of what players inspired you, what teams. When you were younger and you first started to love baseball, mm-hmm. what were some players – or teams that you were just obsessed with that got you to watch the game over and over?
The Blue Jays, funny enough, that's where I started loving the game, is just those guys. They had a spring training facility in Dunedin, Florida, which
yep.
I was from right around the corner there, and didn't even know where Toronto was, just knew I liked the Blue Jays.
It's so, in Canada.
Yeah,
I
figured that out.
Yeah.
I subscribed to their fan newsletter, and I started getting it, and, you know, I see the Maple Leaf, and I'm like, Mom, you know, what's going on? So got to learn where Canada was at that point. But, no, the first team I ever played on that I started loving the game of baseball and said, yeah, that's what I want to do the rest of my life. I was played on a team called the Blue Jays. So it started with that. But, you know, I think when you think about growing up, we had, you know, two major local cable networks when you're growing up, and you got TBS, which is
yep.
the Braves, and you got WGN, you know,
Cubs,
with the
yep.
Cubs. And, you know, me growing up, the Cubs didn't get lights until 88. So
yep.
growing up, I could come home from school every day and there's Major League Baseball on TV.
Yep.
Every other team's playing at, you know, 7 o'clock at night.
Yep.
But the Cubs are on right when I get home.
That's right.
So Mark Grace, Ryan Sandberg, you know, Andre Dawson, you know, Dwight Smith. I mean, those guys,
yeah.
Ron Say, I mean, that was Sutcliffe. I mean, just awesome. So to say I'm not a Braves fan or a Cubs fan, but to say that I didn't watch them more than I watched any other team. I mean, I absolutely did. And that's where, you know, Bob Horner and Dale Murphy and all those
yeah.
guys. So, you know, I think that that era of baseball is where I really started falling in love with it, you know, and then you just see the progression of from then till now and what's been done in terms of peak performance and what
yeah.
guys are doing athletically
yeah.
and, you know, just what they're doing in the weight room and training and the different training methods and, you know, and how hard guys are throwing now
yeah.
and how hard guys are swinging now, you know, just to watch from that point till now. Obviously the progression of that through the metrics and the different things that you can measure, I think all of it's so valuable. I really do. I think that, probably that whole evolution of how the game's being played now has been what's gotten me to here.
Yeah, it's pretty outstanding to watch guys like a Bryce Harper. You know, I mean, he's the easy guy to say, but yeah. I mean, there's really not a place to throw him in the strike zone
right.
when he's hot. And you know, he was doing that at like 17 right. years old. You know, and so you're right. The level of competition, I think, in baseball today as a sport, has never been higher.
Oh man, it's unbelievable. You know?
It is. I mean, I think it's unbelievable.
The specificity of guys coming out of the bullpen for specific guys. I mean, to do, you know, to hit 300, 320 with, you know, 40, 50 home runs. I mean, it should almost be impossible at this point.
Have you watched the documentary on Netflix, Fastball?
No, I haven't.
You would like that too, Big C. It's it talks basically about how once you get over like 95, 96, yeah. how just increasingly hard it has yeah. to take it to hit a base. Not that it's easy before that,
sure.
but once you get 100 is kind of that magic number
yeah.
about how it's, you know, you really don't have much of a shot and how they measure it. It's really good.
Yeah.
I think you'd appreciate it if you're a baseball historian. Regarding your decision to be a college coach, when did you know that? I mean, you played in college, so yeah. what made you say, I want to be the guy that leads? Like, because for one thing, Big C and I have been watching that baseball for a while,
yeah.
and one thing that we said repeatedly, you know, with just trying to be as objective as we could, is that, you know, baseball's a fun sport.
Yeah.
It's a fun sport, and it's a sport where, because it's not basketball's a constant, you know, not always, but, you know, it's a pace and whatever. Baseball, you kind of get to feel the atmosphere around you, and it's a better opportunity to bond and see things in real time with your teammates. It should be fun, and we saw that there was an opportunity for that culture to come back a little bit. So when in college baseball is full of that, mm-hmm. right? So when you wanted to become, or when did you want to, I don't know, pursue being the head of that effort?
When I wasn't good enough to play anymore.
you just wanted to be around it.
Yeah. I mean, I did an internship with minor league baseball in college, and kind of thought I wanted to go that route, and found out very quickly I did not. It wasn't close enough to the field. I was mm-hmm. had more to do with concessions and, you know, hats and souvenirs and, you know, ice cream cookie sandwiches than I did, you know, like when to hit and run or when to bunt,
yeah.
or how to make that guy swing better.
Yeah.
And I think that probably that evolution of just going through the, you know, just the process of, you know, your education and internships and, you know, getting your degree and then, you know, finding out you're not good enough to move on past that. I think just the love and desire for the game of baseball and then just opportunities just continue to present themselves. You know, I got a chance to coach in a summer league right when I graduated. I met the head coach at Belmont Abbey at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He offered me a job, and that was kind of it. It just never stopped from that point.
What did you coach? What was your role?
Oh, man, I was about the 10th guy on staff. So I coached a construction job from about 5 in the morning till noon. Then I coached mowing the field until practice starts. And then I worked with the outfielders. And, you know, once, you know, you start, just like any profession, you start and you take some initiative here. And the next thing you know, you're throwing BP or coaching first base or, you know, helping guys with their swings. And, just everything, really. I just enjoyed the whole process, the recruiting process, going out and finding players and all that.
Yeah. Got studs like Justin Vasquez.
There you go.
Right.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, but not make it a yes or no question, but Jim Fox, when we talked about Sunbelt conference play in the middle of this, well, not in the middle of out of conference play, he said, look, I'm preparing my team. I'm not looking at other schools right now. The Sunbelt's a really good baseball conference.
Very good.
So are you, because you're inheriting a lot of players you didn't recruit, you're bringing guys that you did recruit. I mean, for anybody in that situation, there's an extra learning curve before you get established.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pay attention? I mean, obviously Coastal is, you know, the big dog right now because they just won the College World Series. But are you paying attention to what other kind of competition you have at this point? Or are you just laser focused on what you have until that time comes in the season?
I think you assume, you know, being at the Division II level for the last 16 years, and if you count my playing days, the last 21 years, you know, every kid that we recruited, if we didn't get them right away, they're waiting on a Division I school. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we recruited some pretty good players. So my assumption in that is the guys that we did lose went to Division I schools and performed at a high level. So I think that when you look at that, to answer your question is, I think we're going to face a lot of really good players this year, and I think we're going to face a lot of really good coaches this year, and traditions that have led to winning Louisiana Lafayette. You know, other than winning the College World Series, they've been just as successful as Coastal has. South Alabama, since Coach Calvi's been there, who came from South Carolina, where he started the run of back-to-back national champions. And just as you continue to see that, Georgia Southern's had a great run. Troy's had great years. Little Rock's on the rise, and just as you see all those programs, and not just the Sun Belt, but we're playing Wake Forest at a conference, play UNC Wilmington game four of the season. Second weekend we got Gardner-Webb, who started last season 17-0. You got a lot of good teams, and then we go to Missouri for a 3-game set. So, just with all that, I think you could be quick to focus on just the Sun Belt. I don't expect to play a bad team this whole season. It's Division I baseball, and it's played at a very high level. And, every year, Coastal won it last year. And, I think that people want to call them a Cinderella, and I appreciate you not doing that. Because if you look from year 2000, uh-huh. they've got a fifth or sixth most wins in Division I. If you do look at the Cinderellas, you've had Kent State make it. You've had several different schools. Fresno State won the national championship a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And not to say that those aren't big schools or have good traditions, but, you do have those schools that make it. And my point on that is that all good programs are trying to do the same things that we are doing. They're recruiting it. They're trying to recruit at a high level. They're trying to develop at a high level. I think administratively, teams are continuing to get pushed. You're continuing to see more and more facilities get built and renovated and everything else. So with all those schools, teams want to be successful. So I guess that, to answer your question, I think Coastal's done a great job, but they've been doing a great job for about 17 years now, even longer than that. Vanderbilt has run a heck of a program. If you look at it, it's kind of interesting. Two of the last three national championship coaches are former Division II coaches from the state of South Carolina.
Ooh. He wasn't paying attention to that at all, was he?
So I like that. Tim Corbin's from Presbyterian.
That's right.
Gary Gilmore's from USC Aiken, who was in the Peach Belt. You look at some of the, and I'd have to think if you talk to those two guys that they're going to reference something of developing their program and culture at that level with, maybe not many resources. We're excited about the whole schedule. I'm looking, and to branch off of that, you said this, you wanted this to kind of be a conversation. Some of the things that's going through my head is, for 9 years, I developed this philosophy at Belmont Abbey. Go down to Lander in a Peach Belt conference, which is a monster conference. And there were certain adjustments I had to make with how I, taught my offensive approach and things like that. And I think it ended up being a really good approach. And that's where I am today, 16-year education. I'm building this approach. But to think that there's certain things that aren't going to need to be tailored or, talked to or anything else, of course there are, And I think once you get beyond that, I think you get to a point where, it's just about ego at that point. And, you're just firm in your beliefs. And if you don't do it, I think that there are certain adjustments that are going to have to be made, early in the season just to say, hey, this is what we're going to need to do to be successful in the Sun Belt. And I think that that's, I think we got a group of guys in the locker room that are very open to that and very hungry for that.
Big C, you've watched more App State baseball games than anybody in this building, maybe.
You're probably right. To a fault, maybe.
Up to a fault. Watch your tongue. That's blasphemous. But if you have anything else as far as game day weather advisory warnings for Coach Smith that you've seen out there, Big C camps out in the, I can't see the field from here, but in the right field corner,
a little flat spot out there. That's
Big C country.
That's my perch, I guess you would say.
Yeah,
that's where I like to watch the games. It's very windy out there. It's very windy out there, but it's also windy everywhere. So.
That's true. And he's available. I think he can stretch a little bit.
I'll chase foul balls. That's all I do.
That's all I do. But anything to add, Mr. No, Big C?
This has been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you. You've really opened your eyes as to more than just the game. And that's a big part of this, what this school is about, the Appalachian family and all the good stuff. So we're looking forward to seeing the results. any results. Just we want to see you on the field. We want to see how this team performs, you know, compared to how they've been in the past. So
right.
We appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. I'm very much looking forward to it. I think last year it was kind of unprecedented seeing so many true freshman starters. And we did. You're right. We saw, I mean, you're coming out of the gate. You know, the last time you were in a game, you're facing high school kids.
Right.
And now you're, you know, in D1 baseball. So a lot of experience under the belt. We talked about that last year at length. So we're excited. Hopefully we play games where there's not snow on the field.
Right.
But we will be here for plenty of games for sure. And appreciate you taking your time and introducing yourself. And
absolutely.
Hopefully you'll come back and be on the show again.
Hopefully you guys will come back up and not be held up by Old Dominion truck. But if you do, chairs. Hopefully it's got really good chairs in it or something.
I was pulling for a full crate of Wilson A2000s personally.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for. But we're Rawlings school,
we're
apparently.
Rawlings. You can't say Wilson on the air.
Okay, so that's what
he had to X that out.
Yeah, he mentioned that too. So we have pro preferreds in the Heart of the Hides too. So we're not.
Look at you.
We're not discriminating. Oh,
you're dropping Vasquez. You're dropping Martin County, left-handed hitters, A2000s.
I know.
Pro preferred.
Way after my playing days are over, I've spent money on a pro preferred.
Love it.
Shouldn't have. Had no reason to, but I got it. I have it. So anyway, thank you, Coach, very much.
Thank you so much. It was awesome to be on here.
Awesome. Thanks. Big C, what a great discussion we had just had with Kermit Smith. I'm confident. You know, and I'm, you know, look, it's very easy. You and I, we're just a couple of fans. We're just a couple of fans hanging out with these guys. We've gotten really great access to the athletic department and coaches and stuff. It's easy for us to say these Pollyanna things, but trying, and we're going to be biased, but trying to not be biased, I'm very confident that this is the kind of leader that we need to be successful in baseball.
Kermit can really sell it, can't he?
Yes.
He says all the right things.
Yes.
And, you know, that's something you can get behind.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just hollow. He has some real feeling behind it. As we talked, he's serious, very serious about it.
Yeah, he is.
This means the world to him.
Absolutely.
That the game does. And I think he loves working with the players. I think that's the biggest thing of all. And I don't think he has this game plan or script that says that we're going to go and try to win everything this way, one way or another. We're just going to show up. We're going to try to play baseball the way it's supposed to be played, and whatever it takes to win, we're going to try it that day.
I tell you what, listening to him makes me think of somebody that does like having a plan and being organized, but understanding first and foremost that you need to prioritize the culture. I mean, we've said that over and over again. Prioritize the culture, but he's already the kind of personality, I think, that has the specifics and the plan baked out, but he is clearly talking to him. His priority is making sure that the kids are having fun and caring about each other and supporting each other. Because look, you know, how many times do I say last year that team wasn't having fun? He's working on that this year. And you know what? He's got standards too. Mm-hmm. He's got standards that the team needs to reach. So that's going to be very important for him. It's going to be an uphill climb, but I think he's the kind of guy that can do it.
Yeah, 100%. I totally believe in him. He's going to ride it eventually. He's going to have to do things his way, and it's going to take some time. And anytime you're going through a transition, there's this, you know, people say, well, we got to get the old guys out who he didn't recruit and all right. That good stuff. Baseball's not that way. You know, I don't think he has a style. His style is, let's try and win.
Smart.
Yeah.
He's smart about everything. I mean, when he said, we're going to take a 2-0 pitch,
mm-hmm.
I mean, music to my ears.
Right.
We're going to take a 2-0 pitch? Are you serious? We're going to actually play the card of let's make the pitcher work for a change.
It should.
Absolutely.
I've always been a proponent of use what's available in front of you. Who says you have to swing at 2-0?
Yeah.
You shouldn't, because you're one pitch away from 3-0. And you're one pitch closer to getting to another situation where that pitcher has to throw a strike. Make
yeah.
it more, you know, versus knowing, hey, I might swing. You know, I can throw him some junk and might, you know, can try to fool a guy or something like that. It's very soothing to hear that from that kind of standpoint, that kind of approach to the game,
mm-hmm.
Compared to, you know, what we've kind of done in the past, which was, hey, if there's a ball in the strike zone, swing at it,
yeah.
and see what happens.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, listening to him after we were done recording, he's got nothing but positive things to say about the character of the team. You know, I mean, that's something. If he's going to prioritize that, he better recognize it too. And I think that he's the kind of guy that, well, certainly seems to him. I mean, he loves the you know, hyping in a positive way and being positive and making it about people. And that's the kind of stuff that we sensed when we sat down and talked with him. It was kind of funny. You know, he's a Southern boy, you know, sitting up there in his office and we looking out there and that's a snow covered baseball field and he's ready to play some baseball. And, it's a new exciting journey for him. And hey, he's inheriting not a good situation, very similar to Jim Fox and, a few years ago. But, hey, we're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there every time I can, which better be every weekend that we have a home game. So, plans to get down to, Charlotte this year.
That's right.
Now that, we'll have to worry about the work and the midweek and all that good stuff. So hopefully I can get away and
that's right.
And meet a bunch of people down
work?
There.
What's work, right?
Work is overrated. Completely.
Work is overrated. I'm glad you wrote. Except this time you're going to be out there in Kasuf Corner with a diaper bag. That's going to be the only difference between you this year and last year.
Well, if we get some warm days, we'll see if that happens. But okay. You know, baseball season goes to May. It might be a day that'll work out. So which is fine. But there will still be a grill and hot dogs on it.
You're too. You're not raising a real fan then? Is that what we're saying? It's dependent on the weather?
Yeah, at 6-8 weeks, yeah. It's going to take some time to build the real fan.
So there's a limit to when you can be a real fan. It's an age limit. Okay.
I think that's when you can start talking.
Okay. Well, all I know is that my son was in Dallas Cowboys Stadium before he was 3 weeks old. So
was it his choice?
Was it his choice? Is it her choice to stay home?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Ooh, we're getting competitive on Black Hole Podcast. Well, we're going to wrap this show up here. Hope everybody enjoyed our conversation with the new head coach, Kermit Smith. As we both said, he gets a thumbs up from both me and Big C. And if we didn't believe that, we wouldn't say that. We wouldn't give him two thumbs down, but we just wouldn't say two thumbs up. Had a good time talking with him. If you do get a chance to go see them, whether it's in Charlotte or just to see if they're nearby, do give them a shot and just to support the program. They're being very intentional about doing things the right way, which is good. So thanks for downloading. Get something to say, Big C?
No, I just want to say that, you know, they're in Wilmington this weekend. They got four games to play. Good time if you're down at the beach or heading that way or just an hour or two away. Get away from the hustle and bustle work and go watch the Diamond Apps for the first time under Kermit Smith.
And the new uniforms look awesome, by the way. The new uniforms look awesome. So thanks, everybody, for downloading. Until next week, go Apps.